John chapter 1. If you're there, shout, go John. Amen. You're not there yet. So the Bibles are right in front of you. If you need a Bible or something like that, if you will just pull out the book of John, chapter 1. Jesus wants a lasting encounter. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus wants a lasting encounter. Now I'm watching. So like, you know, some people are like, oh, whatever. But I'm watching and I know and I see a little bit. I see only dimly. I have cataracts. So they said I'm too young to change my cataracts. So that'll be all right. So Jesus wants a lasting encounter. We're starting a new series and we're going to be talking about Jesus. We're going to be talking about the gospel of John and the encounters that Jesus had. Anybody ever had a big encounter in your life? Like life changing. Amen. So some of us have had life-changing encounters with Jesus. However, I just want to talk about an encounter that I had with anybody ever met someone famous, like very famous, like you have talked to them and been with, you know, like you've got their, more than an autograph kind of thing, more of like, hey, we've been apart. So the most famous person, we're interesting. I don't know many famous people. Obviously, you don't either. And so we're in a church of non-famous people. And so... So I was at a camp with a bunch of kids, and we had a bunk. You ever been at a camp and you like bunk bed? And so I was a counselor, and I was bunking on top of the beds. And so just so happened, I was by myself. I was with these group of kids, and so right on top of me was the manager for one of the guys that would be performing at the camp, and his name was Lecrae. And so he was a rapper. And how many people like rap music? Good. Two of us. And so, amen. So most of us do not like rap music, but so she was staying on the bunk and she just so happened to manage Lecrae and all of the guys that came with it, like a big old amount of kids and artists that were up and coming. And so we were just starting our ministry called Hope Extreme, and they were just starting a ministry called the Unashamed Click. And so they were building their ministry off of Romans 1:16. And so anyway, so she's like, hey, you want to meet him? And I was like, sure, I'll meet him. You know, like he was performing in front of like thousands of kids at the two different camps. And so we ended up having an encounter with Lecrae. And so I got to meet him in downtown Branson, because you know it's happening in downtown Branson. Anybody ever been to Branson? Not happening in downtown Branson. And so we were in Branson, and so we were there, and I got to talk to him, had an encounter. We were actually sort of in a bench type setting, and so he was there and I was there, and so we exchanged phone numbers. And so this is the most famous phone number that I have to date. And so if you want to give me your phone number after service, we can count you in. And so I'm there and he's there, and so we exchanged phone numbers. And I said, hey, you want to do a concert here in Houma? And so he said, sure. And so he's not like a big deal yet, and so I'm not a big, nobody's a big deal. So for $600, which is an incredible deal, he came down to Houma for a weekend. He spent a Friday night, all day Saturday with us. Sunday morning, he did another concert for another group of kids. And then after, on Sunday afternoon for lunch, he had a leadership meeting. And so I spent the entire weekend with Lecrae and his wife. And so that's my claim to fame. It was an encounter. Amen. Write it down. I had an encounter with Lecrae. If you don't, thank you. That's all I've got. That's what I tell my kids. Thank you, Mr. Leonard. Thank you. Thank you. He's enthusiastic. My pastor met Lecrae. He probably doesn't even care. And so whenever you have an encounter with someone, it can be life-changing, right? And so for a while, I had his number on my phone until my phone got stolen, and now I don't even know if he'll even remember who I am. And it doesn't really matter, because it wasn't really a life-changing encounter, though. It was awesome to hang out with someone famous for the weekend. There is an encounter that will happen that will change your life. And I'm going to tell you, as meeting the most famous person that I know, Lecrae, that encounter did not change my life. It worked in my favor, and I am thankful, but Lecrae has never changed my life. So there is an encounter that will change who you are, and Jesus wants to have a life-lasting, changing encounter in your life. And so John, everybody say John. Now there's two Johns. John the Baptizer is someone who does what? Take a guess. He baptizes people. You're good. And so he baptizes people, and he's like the Elijah that comes and says, hey, there's someone coming, and his name is Jesus, and he's going to take away all the sins of the world. And so people follow John because he's crazy, because he eats honey, and he eats locusts, and he runs around in like nothing in the middle of the desert, and people are like following him. And he's a great precursor to who Jesus is. But this John that you're reading from today is not John the Baptizer. This John is a disciple of Jesus, and there's a difference, because John the Baptizer is someone that sort of introduces Jesus' ministry. This John is the best friend of Jesus. Now, that is an encounter that you would want to have. John is different. Matthew and Mark and Luke, they're different. Mark starts, actually, the first book of the Bible, of the New Testament, is Mark. And then from there, from the book of Mark, becomes Matthew, who writes to the Jews. And then we have Luke, who writes to the Greeks. And he's sort of like a justice and a go-getter, Luke is. And then from there, almost one of the last books written in the New Testament is the book of John. John writes another book. It's called Revelation. So John says of himself, I am the best friend of Jesus. And he's not like, hey, look at me, I'm so important, I'm so prideful. He just says, I am writing from a place of best friendship, like your BFF, young people. You know what I'm talking about. He is writing from a place of that I have had an encounter with Jesus, and I want to see all the people. I want you to see all the different people that have had an encounter with Jesus. So when you read John, it's like from reading a best friend from a letter that says, hey, this is what it looks like to follow Jesus. And you're going to see all these different stories that you never see in Matthew. You'll never see them in Mark or Luke. You'll only see them in the Gospel of John. And so you'll see these books in the Gospel of John. You'll see these stories, and this is the only time that this story is mentioned, because people in John have encounters. Everybody say an encounter. Now, encounter with Jesus. And so it says in John chapter, let's turn there. We're going to look now. In the beginning of John chapter 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning, and in him and all things. And so John is writing and saying that Jesus is the person that we are to have an encounter with. Jesus is the person that will change your life. Not the most famous person that you can think of. He says the person that will change your life is Jesus. Now, when John was writing this, this would have flipped Greek culture on the head, because they were thinking that it would have been a thing, or it would have been a way of thinking that would change life. And John says, no. He says the way that will change your life is a person. Everybody say a person. Now, every other religion and philosophy says you have to do something to connect to God. You have to do something good. If you can pray enough times, or if you can recite enough things, or if you can live in a certain way, every other religion says that except Christianity. Christianity says, no, Jesus Christ came to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. There's a quote that I have on that. It says, let me read that to you again. It says, every other religion and philosophy says you have to do something to connect to God. But Christianity says, no, Jesus Christ came to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. Another quote that I have, and it says this, every other religion says, here are all the answers to the big questions, but Christianity says, Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all of your questions. And so we see that culture is flipping around. In John chapter 1, Jesus was looking for an encounter. And so in John chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 35. Are you there? Chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 35. And so that's actually verse 1. We're going to go to verse 35, John chapter 1. Now, here is an example of Jesus saying, here is an encounter that you must have. It says in verse 35, the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following, and he said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi." Everybody say, "Rabbi." Rabbi actually means teacher. "And where are you staying?" And he said to them, "What? Come and you will see." So they came and they saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him for the day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and they followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found who? The Messiah." And the Messiah actually means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and he said, "You are Simon, the son of John, and you shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Keep on reading in verse 43. It says, "The next day," everybody say, "The next day." The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to him, "Follow me." Now, this is interesting because Jesus, as a rabbi teacher, in that day, you wouldn't go to school. You wouldn't really say, "Okay, I'm going to go and learn. I'm going to go to LSU and get an education." Rather, you would say, "I am going to connect with someone whom I want to be like." So if you want to be a good carpenter, you would find a good carpenter, and you would study underneath that person until you became a good carpenter. If you want to be a good architect, you would find a master teacher and you would study under the good architect until you became just like the person is that you were following. If you wanted to be a good student of the Old Testament, the Torah, guess what you would do? You would connect to a person who was a good rabbi. So all the time, disciples would come and try to follow someone. But here, Jesus flips it on the head and he says, "No." He says, "I am going to find the people that I am going to ask to follow me." Jesus is a person that wants to find you. He wants to find who you are. He is a person that is seeking you out. In fact, the Bible would say that we didn't look for him, but that he came looking for you. He says that he draws all, everybody say all. He draws all men to himself. And so you can begin to pray confidently. You have somebody that doesn't know the Lord, or you have an atheist in your life, or someone who doesn't know Jesus. You can begin to pray, God, you will seek them out. You don't have to do anything but pray. You can just sit there and begin to seek the Lord and say, God, I'm believing for my family member, my coworker, whatever it is. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to ask that they come to the Lord. Why? Because God is a person who diligently seeks you. He will find you even when you're not looking for him. He is a person that is calling out these men and he's saying to them, hey, come, follow me. I will make you a fisher of men. So he has Peter and he has John, but look, he's getting ready to get two more men in verse 43. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and he said to him, what? Follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip found his friend. Isn't that how you work? You come to Jesus and you start bringing friends to Jesus. In verse 45, it says, Philip found Nathanael and he said to him, we have found of whom Moses in the law and also all the prophets write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And listen to what Nathanael says. Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of where? Nazareth. So immediately he's met with skepticism. He says, I don't think that anything good can come out of a place that is that bad. Now Jesus does this as well. He always flips things, right? It's supposed to be the firstborn, but how many times does Jesus use the younger sibling? He chooses Abel over Cain. He chooses Isaac over Ishmael. He chooses Jacob over Esau. He chooses David over all of 11 of his older brothers. Time after time after time, Jesus will choose the weak things of this world to confuse the wise. And so Jesus comes out of where? Out of Nazareth. And immediately Nathanael says this. He says, how can anything good come out of a place that is that bad? And so you might be in a place where someone in your life is a skeptic. Do you know any skeptics? Do you know that right now in America, I'm not quite sure of the statistics, but in the next couple of years, that evangelicals and Catholics will be the lower people and that the nones will be actually the number one people in the United States of America. You know what a non is? Someone who believes in nothing. Do you know that statistic? I think in the next 2 to 3 years that more people will be nones than will be evangelical. That means a Christian, a Protestant, a believer. There will be more people that are nones than are people that are Catholic. Why? Because this culture is saying this God that you serve, this God that your grandmother serves, this God that your family serves is not a God that needs to be worshipped. And the nones are taking over. And if you go into a school or a young place today, and I'm in schools a lot, and so when you go into a young place, there are people that will come to a Christian club and sit underneath the sound of a Christian club and still be a non. I don't believe in anything. I am a skeptic. I can't believe that anything good would come out of Nazareth. Why? Because something had happened in their life and they believe that God is not good because of something that's happened in their life. And I think Nathaniel is in the same place. Something had happened in his life where he says, I am looking for the Messiah, but I don't think that it can come out of Nazareth. I don't think that God can produce anything good out of that place. And so he's a skeptic. And you might know a skeptic. And I'm going to tell you, this is a good way to pray for someone that is a skeptic. Someone that believes in nothing. Anybody know somebody that believes in nothing? I know 100, so I'll just give you my prayer list right after church. I'll let you pray for them too. The younger generation seems to be flipping that way. Way where they believe in nothing. I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in anything. I'm just going to do what I want. And so we see that that's the kind of guy that Nathaniel is. Yet all throughout the Bible, God is chasing Nathaniel. He's looking for Nathaniel. In verse 47, are you there? Go back to the Bible. It says in verse 47, Jesus saw Nathaniel. Now, if you're a writer, underline that word saw. Jesus did what? Saw. Nathaniel didn't see Jesus. Who saw? Jesus saw. See, there's a difference. Jesus said, hey, I see you, Nathaniel. I see you right here at Hope Community Church. God is a God who sees us, and he wants to have an encounter with you. And he's saying, I've been looking for you to actually see someone is that you've been looking. Jesus was looking for Nathaniel. He is looking for you this morning. He wants to have an encounter with you. It says he was coming toward him, and he said, behold. Now, here's interesting. Jesus knows everything about Nathanael before Nathanael even says anything. He says, behold, an Israelite. Was Nathanael an Israelite? Yes, he was. He said, indeed, in whom there is no deceit. So Jesus even compliments Nathanael. How amazing. Sometimes we think when we come to God that God will have lightning bolts and he'll try to zap us because we have all these things wrong with us. And I'm sure Nathanael had things wrong with him. But what does Jesus say? Look at the Israelite in whom there is no deceit. What is he saying? He's saying, I've seen you, and I know you got some bad up in your life. He says, but I created you, and look at that person who I have a purpose and a plan for. That's who Nathanael is. He's coming and he's looking. He wants an encounter. And so he doesn't run Nathanael away and say, hey, you've just been too bad. I'm sorry, you can't come to the throne. You can't come to the throne of grace. You can't follow me. No. He says, hey, look, I see Nathanael. I see who you are. And he says, I even see that there's no deceit in you. In verse 48, it says, Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him, before Philip, your friend, called you, he says, when you were under the fig tree, everybody say under the fig tree, I saw you. You say, what's under the fig tree? You know, no one knows. I looked this up. I there's things that happen underneath fig trees. Mine, like the birds eat the figs. You know, I have a small fig tree. But in the Bible days, they would actually study the Old Testament, the scholars would, underneath a fig tree. And so they would actually study those things underneath a fig tree, and they could have been studying the Word of God. Maybe they were studying the prophets, Isaiah, and all those guys and saying, hey, there's someone coming in Jesus, and we're looking for him. But really, no one has any idea what was happening under the fig tree except who? Nathanael. See, Nathanael knew what was going on in his own heart. You know what's going on in your own heart. I don't know what's going on in your heart. But guess who does? Jesus. And Jesus saw Nathanael, And he saw him in such a way that he knew everything about him. And not only did he know everything about him, he said, I saw you and I know what you were discussing underneath a fig tree. That is the God that we serve. He knows everything about you this morning. He is saying he knows all of your questions. I can't even answer all of your questions, but you know who can? The one who sees you, the one who wants to have an encounter with you. We live in a place that says God is just someplace for a Sunday or a Wednesday night, but God said, no, I'm a God that wants to be having an encounter with you. I want a lasting encounter with you. And so in verse 48, it says, Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered, before Philip called you, there you were underneath the fig tree and I saw you. Everybody say, Jesus saw him. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus saw him. Now, Jesus saw him. So the saying that is true in the Bible is true for us today. Jesus sees you. See, he sees what you're going through. He sees what you have been through. He sees what you will. And here's what Jesus did. He had an encounter with Nathanael. His encounter was much better than my Lecrae encounter. So Jesus stops everything. And John writes about all these encounters. And he says, I see you. I know you're an Israelite. There is no deceit. And I want to have a lasting encounter with who you are. That's who Jesus is today. He wants to have a lasting encounter with his kids. We were talking another night with our college group. And Tay was just saying how much he loves his kids. We do. We have four adopted kids. And Ted was saying, you know, I love my kids, but like the girls. We have two little girls. They're with my mom and dad this morning, but they're super cute. And sometimes they'll just go to Ted, and especially when they want something. And so they come up, and Ted's sort of like, whatever. But as soon as the little one comes up, Daddy, can you do this? And you just see his little heart melt. And you see, like, and then she comes and gives him a snotty hug. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And so then the other one, too, like, whenever anything that, you know, like they want. It's just like they have dad wrapped around the finger. Why? Because they're his kids and he wants to have an encounter with them. So it's not a big deal to fix a bowl of cereal for our child who can't quite reach because my kids are vertically challenged. And so he doesn't, it's no big deal for them to have those things happen. Why? Because Ted wants to have an encounter with his girls. He wants to have a place where they can feel like this is where you're loved. And God is the same way. He wants to have an encounter with his children. And he calls Nathan out underneath a fig tree and says, I want to have an encounter with you. I want to say to you, I see you. God says to you, I see you. And look what happens in his life when this happens. When Nathanael realizes that Jesus knows everything of who I am. And he still loves me. And he still wants to have an encounter with me. Look at the next verse in 49. It says this. And Nathanael answered him, Rabbi. Which means teacher, you are the what? The Son of God. It says, you are the Son of God. You are the what? The King of Israel. So what happens? God knows everything about you. And he's trying to make these moments happen where there's an encounter, where you come to the Lord. I remember my encounter, ninth grade at South Terrebonne. I had an encounter with the Lord. And he knows everything about me. He knows that on the outside I'm good. I made good grades. I look like a good kid. But on the inside I'm hurting and I'm messed up and I'm lonely and I'm rejected and dejected. And so he has an encounter with me. He says, Tara, I know everything of who you are. And I remember weeping before the Lord and saying, God, this is what I said. You can be the Son of God in my life. You can be the King of Israel in my life. In ninth grade, I had an encounter with the Lord. God wants to have an encounter with you, not just to say some prayer to get you out of hell on one day. He wants to have a lifelong relationship with you. My husband doesn't want to help my kids one time. He wants to help them for the rest of his life. Amen? Amen. He's like, maybe, maybe not. And so, you know, but God is a better father than my husband is a father to his girls. Oh, he's good. My God is a better father, and he seeks for you, and he wants to have an encounter with you. And Nathanael says in verse 49, he says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus stops him from one moment. He says, first of all, you said, how can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then all of a sudden, because I knew who you were underneath the fig tree, we get caught up in our emotions, right? I know who you are, and God's seeking for me. I get that. I'm excited. I'm pumped up. But Jesus doesn't want a one-time encounter with any of us, nor Nathaniel. So here's what Jesus says in verse 50. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, now you believe? So Jesus is like, hey, this is a lifelong commitment. This is not a prayer and you're done and you go back and do life the way that you've always done life. No, this is for the rest of your life. Salvation starts when we pray, but it is a process. The Bible says we work out our salvation daily, that we stand in fear and trembling of the Lord. It's not just one prayer and we're done. We're to live a life of salvation. And to Nathaniel, he says, be careful before you say yes. Of course I know you. Of course I have a plan for you. Of course he does. That's who God is. He sees you today. He says, but be careful, Nathaniel, that you don't get caught up in the emotion and you say yes in the emotion of, I saw you under the fig tree. He says, because there is coming a time when you'll pay for this. You'll pay. See, salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It costs Jesus everything to have an encounter with you. So whenever you have an encounter with the Lord, whenever you sit down at the bench and say yes to Jesus, this is a lifelong decision. This is saying, I'm not saying you have to have it all together when you come to him. I'm just saying that for Nathaniel, you know how Nathaniel ends up? Let me just give you a little bit of the story. It said Nathaniel does say yes. Look at the end of it. It says in verse 50, Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Jesus is looking for a lasting encounter. Look, it says, you will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, this is Jesus speaking, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and what? Descending on who? On the Son of Man. So there was a picture in the Old Testament where this happens, but now Jesus says, I'm going to flip it and you're going to see angels and ascending on who? Jesus. Why? Because he is the way into heaven. Jesus says, I'm everything. I'm not just one thing. It's not me and something else. Jesus says, to have an encounter with me, you have to say that Jesus is everything. I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through Jesus. That's who Jesus says to Nathaniel. And Nathaniel, guess what he says? He says a powerful yes to encounter. You want to know how I know that he says a powerful yes? Because at the end of Nathaniel's life, now he got amazing things. He becomes a disciple. In the other books, his name is actually his other name, Bartholomew. So you see Nathaniel and Bartholomew different. I mean, the same man. And so he comes and he follows Jesus. Does he screw up? Yeah. I mean, he denies Jesus. They all did, right? All the disciples denied Jesus. But eventually, Nathanael comes and he works out his salvation and he spreads the gospel. In Acts, you remember the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes down on the church and then they are called to go into Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so he actually goes into the Middle East and to India. Church history says that this guy, Nathanael, went. He says he had a lasting encounter, so much so, Nathanael did, that not many people even know where he went to, but that he was martyred. To martyred mean that he died for the faith. So Nathanael dies for the faith, and most church scholars believe that he was hung on a cross upside down in his last breaths, where that he would follow Jesus. See, you will have an encounter, but that encounter will cost you something. It will. Why? Because it costs Jesus everything to sit down at this bench for you and see you and know you. But I'm going to tell you, it is the best encounter that I've ever had in my entire life. Encounter, a lasting encounter. Jesus wants you to say yes. Even this morning, you might be feeling a tug on your heart, on your life. I want to say yes. I want to be like Nathanael. I want to say he's the Son of God. I'm going to follow him. And that starts there. But I'm going to tell you, there is a lifelong commitment that Jesus is looking for. No matter what, hell or high water or whatever it is that happens, I am committed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My yes that I said whenever I was in ninth grade is still a firm yes when I'm 41. It will still be a firm yes when I'm 88 years old and 93 and 107. Amen. I don't know, but all I know is that the Lord has required and said, Tara, no matter what, I see you and I know you. And some people in the room, you think God doesn't see you or he doesn't know you or he's far away or how could all these bad things happen? I want to say to the skeptics in the room that God is a God. If he will see Nathaniel, he sees you. He knows what you've been through. And he says to you today, come and follow me. But it's always your choice. It is always your choice to say yes or to no. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? We're going to throw on that synth, and we're just going to pray to the Lord today. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed. My question is to you, have you said what Nathaniel said? It says in verse 49, Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, teacher, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Have you had an encounter with the Lord? Have you sat down and believed that the Lord sees who you are? He knows everything about you. He sent his son Jesus to pay the price for your sin. And today he wants to have a relationship with you. That's what John says. Because he knows. Because he had a relationship with Jesus. And today you thought maybe God didn't see you. He doesn't know what's going on in your life. I just want to say the power of the Holy Spirit that God knows everything about you and he loves you. You might have had people say that you're not anything, not valuable, not worth anything. And I want to say to you that God has seen that and it is not true. And that his truth is better than any lie that you have believed all your life. And today you might have stepped into church thinking you serve a God who doesn't see. But if he sees Nathaniel, he sees you. He knows everything about you. And he even knows the good things because there are good things inside of you that he has created. He's your creator God. And today he is just calling to you and saying, hey, come, follow me. It's just a simple request, and all you have to do is say yes. You can say no, and just be honest with that and say no. I have people all the time that say, no, I'm not ready. But today, in the sound of my voice and in the fellowship of people who know the Lord, if you would say, you know what? It is time for me to say yes to the King of Kings. I know who he is. I'm not going to say that everything's going to be perfect because it won't. I'm not saying that your life will all of a sudden just match out and everything will be good, because it won't. But what I'm saying today is that he is the Savior of the world. And an encounter with Jesus will change you from the inside out. And today you want to make that decision. You want to turn your life over to Christ. Would you just stand right where you are? No one's looking around. Young, old, doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter. You say, that's me. I need to have an encounter with Jesus. I need to ask him. I need to follow him. Anybody else that would say that's me? Anybody else in the room? The Holy Spirit just tug on your heart and is saying it's time. It's time just to let go. Quit playing the old game of I'll do it one day. But I just want to follow Jesus. You've never made that decision, or maybe today you've just been in the room and you've just walked back on that decision, and you know that God is just speaking to you, and he says, I just want to have an encounter with you. He knows you and he loves you. The Bible says his kindness leads you to repentance. He's just like he was for Nathaniel, seeing those things inside of you that are good, and today your God sees you. He hears you. He knows your voice. Anybody else in the room that say, that's me, I just want to follow Jesus. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I just want to confess that he is the Son of God. He's my Lord and he's my Savior. Is there anybody else in the room that would say, hey, that's me? For those of you that are standing, I just want to say that following Jesus is an incredible encounter. He will lead you. He will guide you. He'll be your Lord, your Savior. You'll do so many things for the King if you just allow him. If you just make that song true in your life, more of him and less of you. Can those in the room that are standing, we're just going to pray out loud, believing that he is the Son of Lord. Can you just say this? Say, dear Jesus, you see me, you know me, and today I hear your voice. I hear you say, follow me. So I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to your plans. I believe that you are the Lord. I believe that you are the Savior. I believe that you can help me. And I want to be your kid. Today I choose to have an encounter with Jesus. Not just for a day, but for the rest of my life. I choose to follow you. With those standing, I'm just going to pray a blessing over you. Can I ask God that you would just surround those in the room that are standing? Maybe if you would just lift your hands toward them if you know the Lord. Just God, we just pray for a supernatural power. The Bible says that you will fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit and we'll be able to walk this thing out on our own. We can't do it, God, but with the power of your strength and your purposes in our life, God, we can, God, do more than you can ask. God, more than we can think, Lord Jesus. God, so I pray that you will be with those standing in this room. God, that this encounter that they have, God, will affect them for the rest of their lives. That they'll never be able to walk away from this encounter, this moment, Lord Jesus. That this would be a defining moment for them. A moment where they said yes to you, more of you and less of us. God, I pray, God, for all those standing, God, that you would lead them, that you would guide them, that you would strengthen them, Lord God. God, that you would be the power of their life. God, we thank you for what you're going to do, God, in and through them. God, we give you all the praise, God, all the glory, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Would you give the Lord some praise? If this was your first time and you surrendered your heart and your life to Christ, the Bible in front of you is yours. Read through the book of John. We'll be back here Sunday at 10:30 if you want to speak to Pastor Ted. He'll be at the front door. Myself, I'll be here at the altar. And so we just encourage you to walk that out. Grow in discipleship. Be a part of community groups here at Hope Community. We love you guys. And go and walk with an encounter with Jesus in his name. The thrift store is open if you want to do that. The thrift store will be open in a couple of minutes, and we love you guys, and we'll see you real soon. We have a short El Salvador meeting, an El Salvador meeting right here in about 3 minutes. If you're still interested to come to El Salvador, 3 minutes or 4 minutes, in Jesus' name. The night, so I don't really know what that was about.